I'm going to tell you a little story. It was July 4th, 1997. I was 1 month away from beginning seminary. So, yes, a different era. But July 4th, I was still working at Ameritrade. I was doing financial data analysis. It was inspiring work. And I was really looking forward to my new journey. And it was July 4th, so I was not working. I had a day off. And I was out with a friend, and we were playing tennis. And I was on the tennis court, and I was swinging, and then I started getting these pains in my abdomen area, and to the point where I could no longer swing the tennis racket, which had never happened to me before. I was like, what is happening to me? And I told my friend, I was like, I've gotta quit. And so I, put my racket away, went to the car and drove home. And I said, I'm just having a little bit of a stomach bug. Something's going wrong. So I attempted to go to sleep, but the pain kept getting worse and worse and worse. And so several hours later, from my apartment, I called my mother who lived across town. And I said, there's something wrong with me. And I need your help because I can't stand up. I gotten to that point. So my mom drove across town. She flipped the chair in her car, the front seat. She got it so it would go all the way out, so it was almost flat. And I kind of crawled out there, and I got into the car. I was kind of curled up in the fetal position, and she drove me to the hospital. I had never been into the hospital other than the time in which I was born, which I don't have a lot of memories for. I had not been in the hospital for any other purpose at that point. So I went to the hospital, and they almost immediately said, you need your appendix out. Did you guess that?
Yeah, I did. I knew exactly.
So you might have a medical career ahead of you. You heard the symptoms and you just immediately knew that. So, we have this thing going on where I had my appendix out. And so this doctor, it was July 4th. The doctor, came in. He had been out with his family at the barbecue or something, doing something like that. And he arrived at the hospital and he said to me, well, sir, if you would like to wait until tomorrow morning, we can hang, we just have to hold steady for a little bit, and then everybody will be back in here tomorrow morning. But you cannot, if you do that, we have to make sure that, you won't be able to take any pain medications. Or we could do the surgery right now. Those two options in front of me, I decided, I'm going to do the surgery right now. Because I am not interested in waiting with this pain for another 12 hours until all of your peoples come in. So you need to call people in and get them to come here. And so I tell the story because I did survive. I'm still here. So you know that there was a happy ending to this. They were able to successfully remove my appendix. And I did end up going to seminary the next month. It was much harder to move. Because I had, had some things going on with the where the stitches and stuff were, but it was totally successful. But what I discovered on that day was how amazing the medical system is in our country. You walk into a hospital, they're able to diagnose you very quickly. I mean, I didn't have your help. I didn't realize it was my problem there. And so I was able to walk in, and they were able to treat me right away. And within. Within a day, I was back out. I was back at home, and things happened so quickly. And I just marvel at the wonders of the medical system in the United States, and the medicine at that point the 20th century, but even now as it's progressed in the 21st century, how amazing the medical system is. We, if we have something wrong with us, can expect that we will have some form of treatment that will help us get better. And we almost are at the point where we think that, there's at some point there's going to be a cure for all diseases, and that we are guaranteed in some ways a long and prosperous life because of the great medical care that we have. Would people agree to that?
Yeah.
Yeah. We are extremely lucky. And in human history, we are even luckier. Because for thousands and thousands of years, people did not have that kind of luxury. They didn't have the ability to just, you know, have, you know, somebody give you a ride to the hospital and this all be taken care of. And we have, sometimes in Charlie Johnson's life, I mean, the medical advancements are amazing. True? Yeah, he doesn't remember. But it is amazing. Things have just gone light speed. So we have all of these things going on. But in the gospel passage today, we have the mother-in-law of Simon Peter, who was ill with a fever at their home. And I put this slide up here because this is Capernaum. This is where they lived. Of course, it's not occupied today. This is the ruins of Capernaum. This was 2,000 years ago when they were there. And it said at the beginning of the passage, they left the synagogue. The location of the synagogue is the white stone work over there on Capernaum. And then they went into where the people lived. And that's the foreground. These things are not split by very, very much distance. This is, you could be there in less than a minute. And they walked into here. We don't know exactly where that house was, but it's someplace in those ruins. And the point is that these places that they lived were tiny. They would have stacks of people, living in a very tight quarter in this part of Capernaum. And when Jesus arrived at Simon's home, Simon and Andrew's home, and where their extended family was living, Jesus was invited in to see the mother-in-law who had a fever, and she was in bed. Now the thing is, back then they didn't go off to the hospital. They couldn't go get, they couldn't call mom and say, "Oh, get me over there." This was life-threatening, not only for her, as she was in bed, but for everybody around them, all the caregivers. This was, when somebody got sick, it would ripple through an entire community. It could devastate everybody in a place because they didn't have the kind of medicine and the kind of medical miracles that we have today. I point this out because Jesus walked in and he healed her. He raised her up, as it said. It's the first time those terms are used in the Gospel of Mark. He's been raised up out of that bed. That's a word that's continued to be used in that gospel as people are raised up to do new things. But I want to point out two things that happen after the healing that I think are more important and symbolic of our lives as faithful people, as Christians here at St. Patrick's. Because after, if you were to pull out that reading and you read a little bit further, first thing it says, right after she was healed, she got up and served. She did something. Now, I see Carol's back there laughing. She's like, "Oh, the mother-in-law, she gets busy. She starts cleaning up. She starts making a meal. She starts doing those kinds of things." But I want to think about it as a way of how, when we are given healing in our lives, when community gathers around us and we are raised up, how the response to that is to turn it around and serve, to give back to that community, to give back to the things that we need to do. That is an important part of this passage of Scripture. When we are raised up, remembering those blessings and turning it back in service. The second part right after that reading is that it said people started hearing about it all in Capernaum. They started hearing about it, and people were gathering around that door of their home, wanting Jesus to heal them. And that reminds us of an important thing symbolically as we go forward, is that when we have these blessings in our lives, when we are healed and raised up in community, when God touches us in some way, we're not alone. There are many people. The way the gospel passage says, it's like the entire community gathered there. Everybody needs the strength of and power of God to heal them and to raise them up. And the thing is, we are those people who are going to do that. We are God's hands and eyes and mouth in the world. We are responsible for doing that work. We are responsible raising up our neighbors. And then, if we are raised up, to turn it around and serve somebody else. To give back. To do something that's going to make the community stronger and better. And that is the goal of this gospel lesson, is to tell us about how we need to remember our blessings and turn them back toward others. That is a faithful response to that action. Now, yesterday, your vestry and your staff met in retreat. Here's a picture of us. We look very happy, don't we? We had a wonderful gathering. It was in downtown D.C. We had a great group of people, and we were talking about the ways that we as a community need to respond in faith to the blessings that we have. How do we turn that around to go out into the world to change things? And I know Martha Johnson called me the other day, and she's working on the Pastoral Care Committee. And there's going to be opportunities during our season of Lent, which I wrote about last at our Wednesday email last week, about how we need to be evaluating the things that we do in our lives over the next couple of weeks, preparing for Lent, so that we can determine things that we might need to give up or something that we might need to take on to make our lives fuller, to strengthen who we are, to be who we are, to live into who we are. There are so many opportunities to give within this community. Not only in the pastoral care, it might be writing a note to people who are in need, or preparing a meal, or making a phone call or a visit. There's so many ways that we can turn our blessings, which are many, and turn them around in service to somebody else. And by doing that, we raise up the entire community. We raise up the entirety of St. Patrick's. It's scientifically proven that people who bind together in community live longer lives and more meaningful lives and fuller lives. There's proof to back this up. And we as a community, these people of St. Patrick's, need to remember how we have been blessed and raised up over the years by places like this, and then turn it around and give those blessings back and make the community stronger, to make this place stronger. There's so many things that we can do to make that happen. And your vestry and staff are working on various plans. We're looking at ways that we can improve and increase our outreach into our community. From Haiti to SUM to Samaritan Ministry, all of these various things. By the way, before I forget, there is a Samaritan Ministry Next Step Breakfast on the 15th, which is not this Thursday, but the following Thursday. Look at that. 15th of March. Oh, well, I might be able to make that. I thought it was 15th of February. I heard it as February 15th, and I'm like, I'm going to be out of town. I might be able to make that. So it's actually next month, and there's some announcements back there. But there's so many things that we do outreach-wise that are so important. But we also need to be doing things that are going to widen our lives, to deepen our lives, to make our lives more ingrained, not only in this community, but in our wider community of Washington, how we live into these things. And those steps are so important. And we'll be talking about those and putting those things out as we move forward in our time this year. I'm very excited about the people that I get to work with as your leadership, and I'm excited about working with you to make the things that we do happen here at St. Patrick's. Amen.